We are emphasizing one truth every month this year. The overall theme, because this year is the 2020 year, we want to have 2020 vision like God does. And the theme for this month is God's view of the judgment. Looking at the judgment day just like God looks at it. You and I need to understand that there are so many unusual ideas and that there's so much falsehood that's been taught about this. Sometimes it's difficult to understand. I want you to go with me and stand beside me and we stand beside John. I want you to visualize what John saw three chapters before the Bible comes to an end. John said, I saw a great white throne, and there was somebody sitting on it. And the earth and the sky, the earth and the heavens, they were not there anymore. When that great white throne of judgment was made, that scene, the earth was not there. And the heavenly bodies, they don't matter. The sky and all this, it doesn't matter anymore. They had no place anymore. And John said, and then what I saw? I saw the dead. I saw every dead person, small and great, and they were standing before the throne. You got a picture? A great white throne, somebody sitting on it. And standing before him was every insignificant, the most insignificant person there's ever been on this earth. And those who are of rank and nobility. And then he said, and I saw books were open. He does not identify the books, but you and I know what those books are, because the dead are about to be judged by what's written in those books. And so John said, let me tell you what I saw. I saw the books open. And then there's another book. Don't know what it looks like. It was called the Book of Life, and inside that book were names of people. And the amazing thing is, if your name is not inside that book, you're lost. We'll show that in just a minute. And then John said, great white throne, everybody on this earth, and everybody being judged by the Bible. Where'd the dead come from? Well, sometimes we wonder about those who die at sea. We know where some are buried, some we do not know where they're buried. They disappeared. But he said, I saw the sea, and those who had been buried at sea and been eaten by the fish and all the sea gave up the dead that had been buried at sea. And they were standing there. And then he said, and I saw death and Hades, that unseen world where every dead person goes. And they were empty. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in it. And then all of those who were standing before the throne were judged. Each one of them, not in a generic way, every one of them individually judged, depending on how they had lived. You know what happened to death in Hades? There was a big lake of fire and death in Hades because they have no place anymore. They were cast into that lake of fire. And that fire is called the second death. Now listen to this. That book of life is open. And every person that I saw standing in this vision, if their name was not in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. You understand that? Isn't it amazing how such profound truths in five verses tell you what's out there? That's not what's happening in our world. Everybody and his brother's got some idea and writing books about it and trying to make money off of it. You may have heard of people talking about the rapture. People are talking about, yeah, we can know when the Lord's going to come back because all of the signs are to be given. People talk about 7 years of tribulation right before the end, and when those tribulation years come, then we know for sure Jesus is going to come back. Now, we're not sure if he's going to come before the tribulation or right in the middle of the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, depending on which individual's book you're reading. But we do know that Jesus is going to come back and reign in Jerusalem. And the amazing thing is, the righteous will be raised, and 1,000 years later, all of the wicked will be raised. Heaven's going to will be on this earth. The Lord's coming back, and for 1,000 years we're going to live on this earth with Jesus, and there are those who say we'll live here on this earth forever. Some put into this doctrine. At that time, everybody have a second chance to repent. And then there are those who say, there is no lake of fire. A good God would never throw anybody into hell. I want to make this lesson as simple as I can. I want every young person, young people, listen to me. I want you to learn five truths that everybody needs to know. And as we present these five truths, we shall look to the Scriptures. And if we show in this lesson that these truths are truths found in the Bible, then nothing on that slide that's on the screen could ever happen. Who are you going to listen to? Plain statements of truth from God. What are those five simple truths? You know them, but I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. First of all, the Bible teaches, not somebody who's written a book, not some televangelist who's discovered something that others may have overlooked and written books about and made a whole lot of money in doing so. I want you to understand there will be a final judgment. There's a second truth, and that is that the earth will be destroyed when Jesus returns. A third truth is, every person who has ever lived will be judged, and every person who has ever lived will be judged at the same time. And then finally, every person will be raised at the same time and therefore judged at the same time. It may be that point number five seems like it's a restatement of some other things, but there are two or three verses you need to understand the force of them, because the Bible talks about the very last day there will be and what will happen on that day. Some of you are making notes, and each of these 5 points will become the 5 points of this sermon. Number one, there will be a final judgment when the Lord comes back. How do we know that? How do we know that there will be that final judgment when the Lord comes back? Look at Matthew chapter 25. We do not have time to look at all 16 of these verses, verse 31 through 46. But if you're in the third or fourth grade, can you listen to what God is saying? Carter, I want you to get this. Carter, I want you to understand this very truth. Here it is, God speaking. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, all of His holy angels will be with Him, and He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all nations will be gathered before Him. Do you understand that? Suppose you'd heard Jesus said, someday the Son of Man's coming back with His angels, and all of the nations will be gathered before Him. And He'll separate them one from another as a shepherd divides sheep from the goats. The sheep go on the right hand, and the goats go on the left hand. Just in passing, you must have known, those of you who are sitting on the right, that I was going to make this point. It's unusual, but we have far more sitting on the right hand than we do on the left hand. So I'd like to talk to you goats for just a few minutes. I hope you understand I'm talking facetiously. He'll divide them. And then He says, the King will say to those on the right hand, you understand that? Plain, simple truths. Jesus is not trying to confuse us. He's not trying to sell books. He's trying to tell us what's going to happen. Holy angels, He's coming. Everybody's gathered before Him. He'll separate the good from the evil. And to the good, He'll say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before this world began. If you know this passage, you'll know about, He then says, because of their question, I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. But the point we're trying to use and to emphasize is, He turns to those on the right hand. There is a separation in God's mind. He looks at their lives, and how they lived on this earth determines whether they're on the right hand or whether they're on the left hand. And He will say to those on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. To those on the left hand, He says, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God's made that lake of fire, but it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation, the verse we've already noticed, says others by their own choice will be in that place. And then the last verse of this chapter, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. Can you understand that? Have we not shown from this very passage there will be a final judgment at His return? The very first words, when He returns, this is what's going to happen. The second eternal truth is the earth will be destroyed. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes and says in the last of his epistles that in the time will come of the last days when scoffers will say, he's promised to come back, but he hasn't yet. He doesn't keep his promise, does he? Now he's going to say a little bit later in this chapter, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He makes promise, he's going to keep it. But he hasn't come back. But when is he going to fulfill the promise of his coming? And he says about these people that were there, they were willfully, ignorant that the word of God, when there was a heavens and earth before the flood, were kept by the word of God. And the world perished and flooded. But there's another heaven, there's another earth, that's us. And the heavens and earth that are now are preserved by that same word, reserved for the fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Do you understand that? The earth, heavens and the earth, sun and the moon and the stars and all that we see when we look upward, they are reserved awaiting the fire of the judgment when God deals with the sons of perdition. Don't forget one thing. When you've got to watch up against God, forget about it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. A day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. But that day is coming. What day is coming? The day of his coming. Lord, what's going to happen when you return? The day of the Lord will come unknowingly as a thief in the night. No one can know when a thief is coming, and no one can know when the Lord is going to return. And then he says, in that day, the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Grayson, what's the largest, loudest noise you've ever heard? Thunder? You're standing near when lightning hits a tree, not just Grayson, but all of you. Can you imagine that noise? The greatest noise you've ever heard is nothing compared to when God explodes the entire universe. Imagine that noise, and these things pass away. The elements, those building blocks out of which all things are made, because of the fire and the fervent heat, will melt, and the earth will be burned up. Somebody says, well, I believe the evil will be destroyed off the earth. I do too. But whatever happens to the evil there is on this earth is the very same thing that God says will happen with the earth itself. It's not just that the Lord's going to come back and cleanse the evil off of this earth. They'll be burned up. But he says the earth itself will be burned up. When's that? At his coming. Have we proved that the earth will be destroyed at his return? The third truth is, every person who has ever lived will be judged. Go back to Revelation chapter 20. Small and great, those buried at sea, occupants of death and Hades, and each one will be judged. Have we proved? Has God revealed that every person who has ever lived will be judged? Every person will be judged at the same time. Do you know what an adverb is? Here are two or three adverbs you need to notice from Matthew chapter 25. The first one is the adverb of time. When? What time were we talking about? When the Son of Man comes in His glory. Second adverb. Then, verse 34. When? And then, words to those at His right hand. And then, three, four-letter words, simple words, adverbs of time. When this happens, then and then, there will be that separation. Does not this prove that every person will be judged at the same time? Finally, to state in another way that which we've already shown in other passages, every person will be raised at the same time, not 1,000 years separating the righteous from the wicked, but every person will be raised at the same time, and therefore every person, when one is judged, the others will be judged. Listen carefully. The sermon's about over. Don't miss the best point. John 5, verse 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour. Circle in your mind, underline in your mind, not a millennium, but the hour is coming. In which, in that hour, everyone who is in the grave will hear His voice. You talk about that noise. What about the voice of God that calls all of the dead out of death and Hades? Those who perish 5,000 years ago will hear that voice. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. Who's going to hear it? Well, the good are. And some will say, and after a millennium, 1,000 years later, then the wicked will be raised. What does God say? At the same hour, when the good are raised, in that same hour the wicked will be raised. How can you say it any plainer than to say the hour is coming in which everybody that is in the grave will hear His voice and come forth? And so we don't miss it. He talks about the good and their involvement in the resurrection of life, and the evil and their involvement in the resurrection of condemnation. Two verses that state this so emphatically, there is no way to get around this truth, that all that are in the grave will hear His voice and be judged at the same time. John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus says, no one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up the last hour. How many hours will there be after the last hour? How many days will there be after the last day? I will raise him at the last day. On the last day there is. We used to sing a song that says, time will be no more, and oh how truth this is. If there's one day after the last day, that wasn't the last day. And 1,000 years represents 365,000 days after the Lord raises up on the last day, those who are righteous. No, the last day. There's no day after that. He who rejects me, John 12:48, and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. What's going to happen in the last day? There's going to be a resurrection. John 5 says it's a resurrection of everyone. And that resurrection is the last day there will ever, ever, ever be. You know what's going to happen on that same last day? Reject Jesus, and you will be judged on the last day by the words of Jesus. That's God's view of the judgment day. And don't you let yourself be troubled by some individual who acts like he's a great, great scholar. He may have written all of these books and be an individual of great renown. But God gave you a brain. And I urge you to use that brain so you will not be carried away by all of these doctrines that are not a part of the judgment day. Sobering truths that come out of this. Sin is a reality. And sin must be dealt with right now. We need to understand the seriousness of living away from God and not trying to live right. That's what living is all about. That's what brothers and sisters trying to encourage each other to live right and just to hang in there and be faithful until the day they die. That's what preaching is all about, is it not? To warn people of that day that is coming, that's what preaching is all about. And we care for one another. And sometimes in the kingdom of God, that time arrives in which a brother or sister has wandered so far away that the church needs to deal with the reality that an individual has turned their back on God and they're walking away from God. Why? To try to get that person to come back. That's serious. And it's such a sobering time in the life of the church whenever that kind of thing happens. Why? Because sin is a reality and a judgment day is coming, and that individual will be judged by God. Can I tell you something sobering? And that is, your name is written down in that book of life the day you become a Christian. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 says, you have come to the assembly of those who are the firstborn, those Christians. You've come to the church. You've come to the church whose names are written in heaven. Remember the day you were baptized? Your name was written in a book in heaven. And that book awaits you on the judgment day. The final truth, today is the day of salvation. If you're lost, are you away from the Lord? You perhaps know the steps you need to make to become a part of what God has in mind for you is to believe in Jesus. You want to become a part of His family? You want Him to write your name in heaven? Believe in Him and make up your mind to follow Him. And when you confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you can be immersed into His family. You could make that very decision right this very minute. If you've done that and you've wandered away, come home. If we can help you go to heaven in any way, won't you let us know how we can help by coming to the front right now? As together we stand and sing, Will You Come?